Everyone, please stand for the pledge and a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. At this point, we're going to have a public hearing on the amendment of the district safety plan. I declare the public hearing on the amendment to the district safety plan open. Ms. Bradshaw?
Thank you. We have received and published for the community to review and make public comment on an amendment to the district safety plan. Specifically, that amendment is the addition of a memorandum of understanding between the Central School District and the Suffolk County Police Department, specifically regarding the placement of school resource officers in our schools, which has been a long-standing practice, but this is just formalizes it as required by Education Law 2801. So really the purpose of this memorandum of understanding is to really just promote positive relationships. We've enjoyed positive relationships with our school resource officers at the Suffolk County Police Department. Again, this is to help formalize that and foster a safe school environment. And finally, and probably most importantly, is really to clarify the roles of the school resource officers. So just a few highlights for the community, and there were some copies in the back if you wanted to see more details. They're also listed online. But what's outlined for both the schools and for the police department is what regulates the questioning of students, things that regulate the enaction of student discipline, which is just very clearly laid out as the role of our school administrators, specifically the principal or the superintendent or his or her designee. And then the privacy of student records is secured under the law, FERPA, which is the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act. So it really just codifies for us the interactions between the school resource officers and our school administrators and our students. You can find our published district-wide safety plan online on our district website under district plans. And that concludes my presentation.
Anybody on the board have any questions? Okay. At this point, I declare the hearing closed. There are no signs, no speakers signed up. All right, moving on, communication.
First is a letter to the Board of Education from Ms. Teresa Knox regarding the journal ad for the Gala Concert. Two is a letter to Mr. Jeremy Foe from Ms. Joanne Klein regarding what's the Suffolk County's annual meeting and budget vote. The third is a letter to the Component School District Board Presidents from Mr. Michael Flynn regarding the schedule of events for annual meeting and budget vote.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes, no. We have no unfinished business. We have no reports. Do we have any district committee report? Legislative?
Yeah, I'll give a legislative committee report. Earlier this evening at 5:30, we had an excellent legislative committee meeting right across the hall. We had Supervisor Warheim was here, Councilman Lohman, and also Ms. Nicole Gargiulo. Had excellent conversation about a wide variety of different topics, such as energy performance, shared services, the census that's coming up in April, and also just the overall wellness. And basically how we can work together as a school district and a town government just to help the community in any way possible. So we have a lot of really good ideas, and as we move forward with some of these ideas, we'll be sure to report out as it picks up traction. So it was an excellent meeting. Anybody want to add anything?
I just want to thank you, Matt, because you spearheaded this. And, appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Superintendent's report.
Okay, we want to recognize some students I see here from High School West, and we asked our science director, Ms. Snell. It's not that great, but we don't look at the students back there. So come on up. I'm going to turn the mic over to our director of science. Hey, there, where are you for company?
Hello. So I want to thank our students for coming out
tonight. I know some of them are practicing for some events that are coming up for school other than Times of the Band, since this has pretty much been over for the year. So I appreciate you coming out. We do have 33 members in total in our Science Olympiad team, led by Alyssa Marin, a chemistry teacher at High School West. I tapped Alyssa on the shoulder at the end of last school year because our previous advisor had to step down, and we didn't want to lose the success that we've been having with our Science Olympiad Club, and she gratefully and graciously stepped up and did a wonderful job this year. As I said, we have 33 members that make up 15, two teams of 15, and they have three alternates. A lot of times students think that the alternates don't ever get a shot, and that's not true, because one of our alternates, is she here, Vanessa? Vanessa? Oh, she was on the team, but she got put in the spot. So she found out the night before the event that someone who was scheduled for one of the competitions couldn't make it. And she stepped in with her partner for the Write and Do It Challenge, and they took first place. So it was pretty impressive. Thank you. The Science Olympiad Club meets about once a week, sometimes twice if needed, and it's practically student-driven. Their officers take charge, and everyone's really engaged and happy to be there. During their meetings, the students prepare for events that they want to participate in for their regional competition, and some of these events include the testing of knowledge in specific skills, such as astronomy or geological mapping. Other events are inquiry labs, like a chemistry titration, and maybe there are building events. So this year's building event was for a gravity vehicle and a ping pong parachute. For these events, the students are given criteria and constraints that they must build the objects, and then they can test the performance of their objects. At their regional competition, 53 teams competed, and Smithtown West placed 9th as school overall and 10th for team overall. So that was a great accomplishment. We took ninth place in Write It, Do It, Code Busters, and Geological Mapping, 6th place in Designer Jeans, 6th place in Experimental Design, 4th place in Astronomy, and as I said before, 1st place in Write It, Do It. So I really wanted to acknowledge our members that in total, that not all of them are here, but I would like to call out who is here if you don't mind. Maybe you want to stand up when I call you. So our officers for the club are Karen Hugh, Ivan Liu, Hannah Chowdhury, Elizabeth Giovanni, John Jagger, and Juliana Yang. Other members that are with us tonight are Kyle Palenka, Skylar Moffel, Nadia Matthew, Vanessa Matthew, Aiden Matthew, Omar Farouk, Brett Carnival, Jensen Hertz, Madeline Rayleigh, and Anna Pega, and Stephanie Lynn, sorry. And we also have our advisor, Alyssa Mann.
Congratulations for all your hard work and success.
Okay. I know the students, just so you know, students, I know you have a lot of activities, so of course we'd love you to stay, but don't feel like you have to do that. But we have another and parents as well. Another set of parents here as well, probably.
Yeah. Any of the parents of those students?
Parents of those students, if you're here, if you don't mind, just stand for a second. I know it's, you know. We have also another presentation and an elementary and middle school guidance update. As you know, we have added a few guidance counselors, especially working at the elementary level as well as the middle school. So we asked our director here, Kevin Colon, the Administrator of Guidance and Support Services, to present to the board. Thank you, Kevin.
Good evening. I'm just going to toggle this over here. So thank you for having me today. I'm actually here with the three elementary middle school counselors tonight. They were able to come to help us do the presentation. We have Deanna Severis, Ms. Jennifer Naval, and Ms. Nicole Kearns. So at the request of the board, we wanted to kind of provide just an update on some of the things that are going on at the elementary and middle school. So I'm just going to go through the presentation here. We have a short video, which the audio is not great when they're doing the kid interactions. So I'm going to fast forward a bit of it so that you don't have to sit for 5 minutes of hard to hear video. But it is important to kind of get a glimpse of what's actually happening in the classroom. So I think it's important. So I'm just going to go right through. There was also
probably project my voice if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so one of the questions was just to kind of get a gauge on what the current counselors, the caseloads are for the counselors. And with the addition, so right now the district has 25 certified school counselors in the district. There's 15 at the high school level, 7 at the middle school level, and 3, which is a new addition, the elementary and middle school counselors. Now these counselors are actually housed in the middle school. They have a lightened caseload, and then they work with the elementary schools, the feeder elementary schools for the middle school. Just to kind of break that down with some numbers, the average high school counselor caseload is 214. The average middle school counselor caseload is 248, and the middle elementary school counselor caseload is average at 98. So these numbers are important for one specific reason, is the addition of the elementary counselor, the middle elementary counselor role, it actually reduced the overall caseloads for the full-time middle school counselors. Now, the ASCA, if you can read up there, the ASCA is the American School of Counselor Association, and they recommend a ratio of 1 to 250 or below, obviously. The smaller, the better. But we're now below that, whereas we were 296 as an average. So that's a huge thing. And that one commitment from the district and the board really dragged those numbers down. And as you'll see, and as they'll present a little bit later, it's allowing for some new initiatives to pop up into the middle schools as well as this new program that we're actually going to the elementary school. And for those of you who don't know, I actually started my career in elementary school as a counselor in elementary school, so for me, it's actually really a great thing that the district is supporting this role as the elementary counselor in the working with the kids and actually pushing into the classrooms. It's really important. So what exactly is happening at the elementary schools, especially thus far? So so far, the counselors have met with all the feeder elementary school principals. So we did basically a road tour for the first couple of weeks of school and had a sit down with each principal to kind of assess their needs and what they felt was the most important topics to cover in this year that we're going to be rolling this out. And then we collaborated after that to get a gauge on like how we can really go in and provide some of these lessons. So that was one of the first things that the counselors did was they actually went into the schools and pushed into the third, fourth, and fifth grade classes and just did an introduction because as we all know, the elementary school students, they don't really know what a counselor is or the school counselor is. So it's a really good opportunity for them to go in, introduce themselves, let them know that they're going to be visiting into the classrooms. And already, as they can attest, the kids were just really interested in it and really they had questions and they were really excited about this. So they added one of the nice parts about having the elementary school counselors as well is they are now added to the crisis response team for the elementary schools. And the reason why this is actually important is if there is a situation where they need extra support, oftentimes when a building is dealing with a situation, the building is also hurting in a lot of respects as well. And having somebody that is connected to the school but able to go in and provide that additional support is really important. And they've all volunteered to be those point people if needed, if the extra support is necessary at the elementary schools. And currently, well, the counselors already, in order to develop these lessons, after taking the information from the principals, they sat down, they had some planning time to really craft the lessons that were going to go in and then roll out throughout the year. Now, they're, I'd say, probably about halfway through a lot of the lessons that they already have planned out. And we do, as I said, we'll cover some stuff a little bit later, but I'm going to go into the lessons that are set in stone at this point at a glance. So at the fifth grade level, this one has already been done actually, the Be an Upstander. They did a lesson on bullying. Students will learn different strategies for standing up to bullying, and when and where and how to seek help for solving problems and making decisions. This was the first actual lesson that they went in to do. Another one is our online traps, which is another fifth grade lesson. Students will identify ways they are and are not in control of their digital footprint. Students will understand what responsibility they have for the digital footprints that they leave themselves and others. That obviously is a very big thing right now, is what the kids are doing on the internet and what imprint that they're leaving that can obviously always be accessed later on. Mindfulness and coping skills. Some of the things that come out of the wellness committee and all these other committees that we have when we discuss social emotional learning is this idea that we're lacking the coping strategies. And so this is, again, having the counselors in there working with the students and developing these through classroom lessons is one way to kind of get it at a younger age and then continue on with these coping strategies as we get older. So this one specific one is mindfulness. Students will be able to understand what stress is and identify the effects, how it affects their lives. Students will be able to identify techniques and strategies in order to cope with stress-inducing situations. As I just mentioned, it's a very important situation. It's a very important topic because you want to make sure that they are able to cope with the stressful situations that are going to happen, right? It's the coping strategy that is what they're lacking. That's what we need to work on with the students. The middle school transition. Students will learn about the transition to middle school and what to expect. Students will be able to share feelings and ask questions about the upcoming transition to middle school. And they'll do different activities like opening locks, which is actually sounds mundane, but for the students, fifth grade is a big thing. They really enjoy it. We're going to gather some locks, and they can kind of get through that. Because the anxiety that surrounds just opening locks is actually, coming from middle school myself, it's a real thing. So that's one of the things that they'll be doing amongst a bunch of other things to help that transition. One of the nice parts about having elementary school counselors working with the feeder, well, having the middle elementary school counselors working with their feeder schools is the kids are going to really know who they are. When they go to middle school, it's going to be a familiar face. It's going to be one of the first times that's actually really going to happen. We all know that if you're looping in with somebody that you see, it's going to be the first person that they may want to reach out to for help. It's going to be the first, that person can then be the warm handoff to the actual counselor once they hit the middle school. And they'll also know how the kids are acting with regards to what supports they might need in the classroom. They'll be able to see in real time, like, okay, you know, I think that we can, this might be a good strategy to work with this child as we move forward, to kind of cut down the delay of, like, you know, reworking the wheel, I guess, so to speak. Some fourth grade lessons, some conflict management strategies. Students will be able to identify the word conflict and the word resolution. Students will be able to identify a conflict when they encounter one. They'll be able to identify 10 different strategies that can be used to manage or resolve conflicts with another individual. Again, I'm sure that you know how often we run into situations that quickly escalate from conflict to bullying, for example. And if we can teach the strategies on how to navigate these things, I think it's really important to really focus on that. Power of Words is another internet safety lesson that's done at the fourth grade level. This is really just to have the kids understand their impact of the words they use. You know, oftentimes things are misinterpreted from the other side. And so that they can learn to say, how might this be able to be interpreted by somebody else, not just me, what my intention was. Because it's always really the impact is what matters. So students will also be able to identify ways to respond to mean words when online using stop, and decide which kinds of statements they are okay to say online and which are not. Career exploration at the fourth grade level. Students will identify at least two personal skills, they'll identify at least one passion, and will identify at least one long-term goal related to careers. Third grade lesson, stop, think, and cool off, self-regulation. Students will be introduced to the first step of problem-solving approach. Students will learn to identify and monitor their own feelings in complex situations, and students will learn strategies that they can use to regulate their emotions and relax. Self-esteem bingo. One of the things that came up, it ran through, each one of the principals had mentioned that the self-esteem was something that they would like to start building in the elementary school, especially specifically at third grade and in the younger years. So students will be able to understand what positive self-talk is, demonstrate how and when to use positive self-talk, and understand why positive language is beneficial. Students will be able to use positive self-talk as a way to increase their self-esteem, and they'll be able to select positive self-talk adjectives pertaining to themselves. Now I'm going to play a video. The sound quality is not great for when the classroom part of it. So I'm going to fast forward to when it's a little bit more clear, and then also kind of it'll tail off and come in. So you get the gist of the whole thing here. But just bear with me.
So it gives you a real good glimpse of...
It gives you a real good glimpse of what's going on in the classroom and the kids that are engaged. And I do want to just say thank you to Ms. Karen Dennis for providing that video to us. It wasn't planned. She just sent it over and said, "These are the great things that are going on in the classroom." And I asked if I can, you know, bring it and show you all. So we're really happy that she was able to do that. So as I mentioned before, not only are they working in the elementary schools, and they're hitting a lot of different classrooms at this point already. They're also doing things in the middle schools as well that are really, you know, increasing what we had in the past. So I want them to speak on their own to actually say what they're doing specifically. So the first person up is going to be Ms. Deanna Severus. She's at a Compton Middle School.
Good evening. So I have partnered with one of our sixth grade ELA teachers to pilot the Khan Academy's Growth Mindset curriculum. So the curriculum, the Growth Mindset, teaches our students to view challenges as opportunities to grow. We talk about how making mistakes and experiencing frustration is a positive thing because throughout this process, our brains are actually learning. So with the growth mindset, students are less likely to get discouraged by difficult concepts, and they are more likely to seek out challenging work. So that's why we think this topic is so important. The curriculum also covers the science behind the growth mindset. So we teach students about how our brains and how when we are learning, our neurons are making connections with one another. And we teach the students that when we encounter a difficult task, we just need to apply a different strategy or possibly ask for help in order to grow. So the curriculum includes different videos, articles, and activities, and the students have really been enjoying it every week. Some of the activities they have completed throughout this curriculum include they created a plan for what to say to their fixed mindset voice, so that is when something is difficult and their brain tells them that they can't do it or they should give up. They had to do a reflection on a mistake they have made and what their reaction was to that mistake. They had to create a plan to deal with frustration, which included reminding themselves that frustration is okay. They wrote down some point people that they could ask for help when dealing with frustration, and also what they could do to take a break if they needed a break from that difficult task. We created a bulletin board based on the power of YET. So we made really big letters, Y and T, and on each of them, the students wrote down one thing that they cannot do yet. And lastly, our students created SMART goals for themselves. So we actually did this today. They learned about how when you set a goal, you should make sure it's specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and timely. So they set their SMART goals today, and in about 2 weeks, we're going to check back in with them and see how they are doing so far. Thank you. Hi, I'm Jen McGloom.
So right now, I am in the process of starting a peer mediation program.
So right now, I'm in the process of starting a peer mediation program called Project Peace. The goal of the program is for students who are interested in being mediators, helping other students resolve conflicts peacefully. Right now, the program is only being offered to sixth grade students just to see how it is, see the students' response to it, and then hopefully expand. Right now, I'm still in the early stages. I have a few students that are interested, so I'm getting consent forms sent out to the parents, and I'm trying to recruit a few more students. Once I get all the forms signed, we're going to start our training. The training should be about a few weeks, depending on how comfortable they feel facilitating a mediation on their own. All the mediations would be two peer mediators that are trained. Once the training is finished, then we'll get the word out, and students during their sixth grade lunch can sign up for peer mediation for minor conflicts. All the conflicts first go through me, I review everything, and then I assign a peer mediator. The mediation is completely confidential and it's completely optional. No one is forced to do a mediation. We want to make sure that both parties are comfortable with the mediation.
some attending skills and just build better communication. And it's just, yeah, it's something I'm very excited about, and we're just getting started. Thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm Nicole Parents. I am the school counselor for Great Hollow Middle School. So one of the things that I actually started this year was a diabetic student support group. So although this makes up a very small population of our students at Great Hollow, this is something that we got feedback from these specific students who have a diabetes diagnosis, that they feel very disconnected sometimes. And sometimes they feel very alone, and sometimes they feel different, which we all know middle school students do not like feeling different. So for this reason, it was really important to get these students together and for them to really share their commonalities and to feel more connected not only to each other, but also to the school as well. So this has been a monthly group with these students who are diagnosed with diabetes. And the primary goal of this group is really to allow students, like I said, to not only feel a greater sense of connection to each other, but to be also to the school and also share their experiences with each other. And also one of the most important things was that they knew that they had as much support as possible from not only myself, but also our school social worker, our school nurse, and also our district 504 coordinator, Ms. Leo, who's also a part-time psychologist in our school. So there really has been a lot of collaboration amongst all of us. And this is something that, you know, we've met a couple times so far. It's still really early. The students are just really getting to know each other. It is made up of 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students. And so far, they seem to really like it. We've gotten good feedback from the students, and they're excited to come down and all meet together. We've gotten good feedback from the parents. So this is definitely something that is going to continue for the school year, and then we know it's something that's going to continue on to next school year also. So one of the things that we actually are planning on doing next with the students is going to be vision boards. So the students are going to be creating vision boards, and we're actually going to have them place them in the nurse's office right above where their supplies are, so they're able to look at it every day. And then we're also going to be looking into, I've been speaking with the nurse and our social worker, into having a specialized nurse, a nurse who specializes in diabetes, maybe come and talk to the students just about some things that might be helpful for them, such as nutrition or some health management tips, and just to answer any questions that the students may have. At our last meeting, our District 504 coordinator, Ms. Celia, attended, which was actually really helpful. She was able to introduce herself to the students, which I think is a really good connection for them to have in the building. But it was also good because the students were able to give some advice to her that she was able to share with the families of incoming students when she's having their 504 meetings. So this is something that Ms. Celia will be sharing with those parents of those incoming students. And those students are definitely encouraged to join as well for next year. Thank you.
So, hopefully I don't need another microphone if we get through this. Just go through a couple quick next steps. One of the things on the table right now, which should happen in the next month or so, is we're going to be collaborating with the psychologists and social workers and teachers of the fifth grade to identify the transitional needs of the students. So, again, that's something that hasn't happened in the past at this level and this early. So it's for them to be able to, you know, just gain access to what's going to be really helpful moving forward. So some of the things they can start to implement in the lessons that they're going to continue to do for the fifth grade. Again, I think right now what we have a tentative, they actually don't know about it yet, but we have a tentative meeting, department meeting, combined department meeting, that I'm working with Dr. Clark with. So that, in addition to that, we also wanted to include some parent workshops as well. So one of the ones that we're currently doing, we're lined up to do later on in the year is a parent workshop for internet safety. And that is going to be just to, you know, so we can make it, you know, accessible to parents. There'll be a morning and an evening one, but it'll be at their elementary school. That's the way we currently have it. The only variation of that may be, just depending on numbers, is we may ask the parent at the feeder middle school, so that they just have the opportunity to meet in one place that's a little bit more centralized. But ideally we'll be actually in the elementary school working for the elementary parents for a morning and an evening session. And then so for the K-1 and 2 grades, right now the principals are getting together to let me know what might be some good assemblies to try to carry out the rest of the year for kindergarten, first, and second graders. We may not be able to get to that this year because there's been a lot of planning, but it's definitely on the table to try to get there. And the sixth grade live guidance lessons, we'd like to roll at least one out, one sixth grade guidance lesson, but next year, the way it will look is these counselors will also be providing sixth grade lessons, which will be somewhat of a continuation with the fifth grade lessons. So they'll already kind of be used to that, the fifth graders that are moving up to sixth grade, and I'll probably send them really welcome, and also another opportunity for them to connect with the counselor that they had in elementary school. So I think that's, another nice transitional piece. And we're going to have a planning meeting for 2021 to really look at the lessons that we did, see if we want to keep any, if we want to ditch any. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing through my lens is I'm going to be attending the elementary school cabinet meetings, the principal cabinet meetings, or at least towards the end, and I'm going to provide them with a curriculum that I actually stumbled upon through a conference that I went to recently. It's a free curriculum. It's called Overcoming Obstacles, and it's broken down K-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up through high school. The goal is to have the principals look at it and see what lessons or what topics through that would be something that would really support their schools as a district. And the goal also with that is to leave open one, like an optional lesson. So in a situation where I've actually experienced this in my own child's school is when something comes up, you may not necessarily know it. So like one principal's needs may be different than another principal's needs with regards to what's going on with the kids. So for example, maybe there's a personal space issue with the kindergarten kids, and there's not a lesson that's currently prescribed to that according to like what we've set out to do. This will give the principals an option to say, hey, listen, you know, we're having some struggles with this. Is it possible to have the counselor come in and do a lesson on personal space? And I think that'll be nice to kind of be able to kind of differentiate that for them. And then I'm also excited about that. So just to end it out, I just want to thank you all for supporting the Smith Town Central School District, the guidance department. We obviously could not do any of these things without your support, and that's it.
All right. I have a lot of questions.
Sure.
So I'm just going to start from the beginning, as I took notes. So the middle school counseling load with the existing part of the new three spots, their load has gotten small.
Small.
From 298 to 240 or something like that.
Right.
So what, if anything, do you know is happening with that, I don't want to say free time.
Right.
What's the change, the actual change that has happened?
Well, one of the right off the bat things is I've implemented a check-in protocol. So now the goal is for them to check in with every single student that they have on their caseload each year. So that's good. That is definitely an increase in their ability. They weren't able to do that prior to this, so now that's one of the goals. Right now, they're currently, many of them are more than halfway through, and some of them are even 100% through checking in face-to-face.
So prior to this, our counselors at the middle school were not seeing every kid at least once?
Not individually. More, they were seeing all the kids, but usually through group format, small group, that stuff.
Okay. So can you just kind of map out, maybe the ladies are better to do this, like, what does their day look like as far as the middle school going down to the elementary school? Are they down to elementary school on Friday? Is it like, just give us a little bit of a background.
The way we can really do it, because they're working in the feeder school, it's not like they're spending, okay, on the Friday, every Friday they're in the middle school, in the elementary schools. The only way you can really do it with the structure that we currently have it, especially since they have to hit a lot of different feeder schools and they're actually pushing into the classes and not just doing full-scale lessons for the entire school type of thing. So what the current model, what we're doing is they're housing the middle school and then they're coordinating with the building, the elementary school, to say, like, okay, I'm working directly with the teachers. When can I come in to do this lesson? And then we have a tentative schedule to say, like, this week we'd like to do these lessons for the fifth grade. and then they will go out. So some, in certain circumstances, they will spend the morning there and hit these different, so they might visit that school twice in that week to hit both sides. Sometimes they'll spend the entire day there. So, but it's not specific to, like, every Wednesday they're in the school or every Tuesday they're in the next school.
It's fluid.
Fluid, yeah.
So, percentage-wise, how much time is spent in elementary school compared to the middle school?
I'd say right now, the way it's worked out is they'd be spending about 30 days. Like if we just, given, say that they were going to do 5 lessons, if they were able to get through that, it would be 30 days, about 30 days in elementary school. But that could be plus minus, depending on, because of the floating aspect of it.
30 days out of the school year?
About out of school year, yeah.
And the guidance rules, that's not the right word, but the guidance expectations for elementary, now that it's changed, is that supposed to be K to 5?
The guidance regulations, really what, as it pertains to guidance to school counselors, is it's supposed to have access to a counselor. So now,
K to 5
access, right? So access from many different ways, obviously. The other part of that is to have the opportunity to have instruction delivered by a counselor, and also in collaboration with some of the other professionals in the building, social workers, psychologists, teachers. So they're doing a lot of collective things. But yeah, that's what the regulations is, access to the counselor.
So these topics that you shared with us tonight, fifth grade lessons and fourth grade lessons and third grade lessons, I just want to be clear. How were they decided? Where'd they come from?
So that was when we went to the principals. It's very much principal and teacher driven. So we asked in the beginning of the year, what are some of the biggest things that come up, and what do you think would be the most effective to topics to cover over a year?
And are these consistent through all buildings?
These are consistent through all buildings. Yeah.
Okay. And are you all working together? So you're consistent with what? Professional development, and they're all on the same page.
We meet frequently, so they'll come, and we have some planning time to sit down and kind of gather our thoughts, and just make sure everybody's on the same page. They had, in the beginning of the year, they had time set aside to plan these lessons for the remainder of the year. Like I said, one of the goals also to move forward is to get this other curriculum and flow that over to the principals as well. So there's something that's already written out, and we can plan that out a little bit better. Just because, you know, with hiring and everything like that, when you start kind of behind the ball, in a sense that you have to plan the curriculum and work those logistics out after the fact. So now we can actually go into the year full steam ahead and hit a lot more kids.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you all wrote these lessons that we see here, correct?
They wrote them, they pulled them from lessons that they've done in the past. They, you know, some of them already have elementary school experience. Mrs. Severese was an elementary counselor, and so was Mr. Wong in their previous schools. So they, you know, one of the first things was, what were some of the home run lessons that you actually provided that you felt were really impactful for the kids in your world? And then, of course, bringing that and collaborating with the principals. And there's been very good feedback from the principals and from the teachers and from the students with regards to the things that are being done. So right now, again, that's why I want to have this meeting with the principals to kind of really do an overview and say, how did this go? What do we want to keep from the lessons that are there? And then what do we want to potentially alter?
Oh, this might be for you guys. Are the teachers in the classroom when you give the lessons? So they see what the kids are doing so they can implement it okay.
This video is actually one example of the teacher taking it so that she can revisit it later on.
Right.
And then the kids would have access to that.
And you may not be the best person to answer this question, maybe you guys are. How, if at all, is this changing the social worker's role at the elementary school? Because I would imagine the social worker may have done some of this work in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Is that changing the dynamic of their job? Are they getting more time one-on-one with kids, or do you not know that?
I mean, I can somewhat speak to that. I can somewhat speak to that, and feel free to jump in if you have a different perspective of it. But right now, the SEL, there's a lot of SEL work being done in the K-1-2 from the social worker lens. And so this, that we're very top-heavy 5 for three with the amount of lessons that we're doing. A lot of it just geared around the transition, and also we're covering different topics. So we're going into a little bit more of the career exploration and those things. The you may have some overlap, or it may free them up a lot to be able to do some of these things, but one more meeting with the social workers, from what they say to me, just from the psychologists and social workers, from the feedback that I'm getting from them, is that this is great, you'd really love to be able to get into the classrooms to do these things, but we just really can't, we just don't have the time. So at the very least, it's allowing them to know that the kids are getting supported in the areas they want them to be supported, and frees them up to continue to do what they're doing.
Just a suggestion now, this next comment, could we think about, at least for the fifth graders, some type of topic on vaping, or the dangers of, just because, and maybe you're already doing something with it, but that's just something that is happening earlier, and middle school becomes more of a in-your-face situation. And I would also suggest diversity and inclusivity for kids at that age, too, which can go down to the kindergarten through the fifth grade, as well as I'm concerned, in those areas. Also, and I don't know, again, if you know this, but we had the presentation last time from Pat Smith about the Great Body Shop, and I know the Great Body Shop is a health curriculum at the elementary school level, which also probably covers a lot of this topic. So I don't know if there's any interaction with those lessons and these topics, or if there should be some communication or some conversation about that, so that it's all, kind of flows. So that might be something, I don't know, again, if you're aware of or not, but.
No, I mean, I think it's a great idea to provide that anybody who's doing any lessons would be good. It's definitely ideal for us to make sure that we're not, just duplicating services. And
it's good and it's bad. They like support, but between social worker work, Great Body Shop, which is health curriculum at the elementary school that we're fully invested in for years and years and years, and now this new initiative, we have a three-pronged approach of hitting a lot of these topics.
And it might be some things that we can collaborate on, so that we're covering things that might be not, like, just support some of the things that are actually happening.
And I think my almost last question. These outliners, the Khan Academy and the things that you guys spoke about, how are those coming to fruition? Are those just things you're figuring out in those individual schools, or is it just your area of expertise?
For me, for the peer mediation, it's a program I always wanted to start. I was in an elementary school, and I felt they were just a little bit too young to start one. So once I started in middle school, it's just something I really wanted to start.
And then for me, as far as the diabetic student support group, that kind of is something that just came about based on some issues that had come up with some of my own students, some of the other counselor students, so we were just really addressing the needs of those specific students at that time, so it really did just kind of come up.
And many of these things now are in the infancy stages. I can talk about the diabetic club, which I commend you, and I think it's a very important topic, but at this point in time, it's just for certain particular students, but I know there's been discussion about going into other students who have parents who might have diabetes and how they're dealing with it. So, as this goes along, I'm sure it will morph and grow and become more. I've seen you with peer mediation. I know you're drumming up business, and you try to, because I would love for you to come back and talk about the numbers, because sometimes we look at that, the bang for the buck, like how many students are attending these, and we know it's you all motivating them, but some of these clubs, they're incredible, and it's so important, so.
I just to kind of piggyback off of that is, I think one of the things that we're always concerned about is consistency in different buildings. So I love the idea that you have your own little niches in your individual buildings, but if we can develop those into being available in all the buildings, number one. And then I would also, just picking on the diabetic thing, I think, not picking on it, but one of the things I think as school districts that we have to do a better job is finding those different niches of kids. Because the first thing that popped into my mind is that I have a daughter with ADHD. And those kids really struggle with, kind of feeling comfortable in their own skin and feeling different and whatever else. So I'd really like us as a district to start to pick off different classifications of kids or identities of kids, especially at the elementary school and then into the middle school in particular, until kids have kind of found their way, found who they are, because I think they suffer in silence, elementary school, middle school, through those years and in that you know, developing and all that type of stuff. So I think we need to do a better job in all schools, not here in particular, of really kind of finding support systems for any different type of, you know, issue or identity or whatever that will help these kids kind of find their people and find commonality so that they have a support system. I know things like the Girls Club or whatever else. So anything that we can do to kind of add to that menu of what you're doing with these three options is huge for us, I think. So that was all my questions. Anybody else?
Have you thought about focusing on executive functioning, especially for our transition years from 5 to 6 and from 8 to 9? I mean, typically our kids from elementary school, because they're housed in a self-contained class or one teacher for the day, really have a tough time navigating through middle school where a lot of those responsibilities, planning, things of those nature that they're not typically used to. Is there something that a program could be built?
So one of the big things that, and you know, it wasn't represented here much, but a lot of it is like the goal for the sixth grade lessons as you start to move forward with this thing, is a lot of the executive functioning is really going to be housed there. I do have experience working in specific executive functioning, and so it's one of the biggest things that not only is just an appropriate transitional piece to kind of be able to, but those are also the skills when you look forward and success in as you move forward through high school, college, in the job. It's the executive functioning skills, the organization, time management, but even some of the things that they already hit at the elementary, self-regulation, emotional, those are all these executive functions. So 100%, yeah, it's something that I'd love to see more of anyway, a little bit more targeted. It's actually just somewhat off topic, but we did for the camp program, I did a PowerPoint to bring everybody, all the professionals that were there, specifically targeting executive functioning and how to work with some kids in that capacity. So 100%, I think it's a great, and so it's a very, it's not only needed, but it's super, there, like, you know, that you can work towards it. It's lesson planning, it's skill building. So, yeah, absolutely.
Is there any thought? I know that typically kids, when they get the guidance counselor stays with them throughout their existence. Is there any thought? Because you guys have an average of 98 students yourselves, so that is that mixed kids, 6, 7, and 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering your thought on.
My thought process on.
With this model, I'm thinking, is it more valuable to have them take all sixth graders since they have a relationship with them and then pass them along as seventh graders? Has that ever been brought up?
There's been thoughts around. I think that there's going to be downsides. There's going to be major downsides. Thinking professionally, as a counselor, if I have my student and I'm developing that relationship with them in sixth grade and then I'm passing them off into seventh and eighth, you just kind of lose the contact that you could potentially have as they move forward. Also, if you assign, if you're talking more of the model of sixth grade, like they would be the sixth grade counselor and working in the elementary school, I feel like the sixth grade year is also going to be a pretty big transition year, where now that person, they're going to have the most transient counselor with the highest need, potentially, population in the sixth grade, so they have all the sixth graders, you know what I mean? But there are positives in that too, so there, it's been thought about. I don't know, where I'll necessarily go with that just yet, but I'm always open to kind of teasing out certain things, but right now the way the model is and everybody kind of, it also, as a counselor, you're dealing with different things in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, so if you're outside of that loop, I would always like to have the counselors savvy and being able to do everything, right? So it just reduces that a little bit because they're not exposed to certain things they're not going to have in week, for example. But yeah, like I said, it's something that it has been thought about.
My thought process was just that it's so important that transition to sixth grade. They already have that relationship. They have 98 kids. It is.
Right.
Whatever.
No, it's not. It's one of those things that, like I said, it's not an easy.
The bigger conversation.
Yeah, bigger conversation.
Anybody else? Yeah. So thank you so much for coming and sharing.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
We're just going to go on to calendars. Just a reminder, on Monday, the 9th of March, we have a special meeting, Board of Education, executive session only, New York Avenue, correct? 5:30 for the superintendent search. And our next regular meeting will be on Tuesday the 10th, executive session at 7, and regular meeting to reconvene at 8 o'clock. Under our first reading revised policy, I think I've probably given this to the board, I've certainly given this to the board, the update, this amendment that I'm going to read, incorporating uniform grant guidance federal compliance requirements. You should know that the language was approved by the New York State Education Department. The revised policy, 9120.1, conflict of interest. Board of Education policy is presented for your information and discussion February 25th, regular Board of Education. A second reading with any revisions deemed appropriate will occur on March 10th, regular meeting of Board of Education. The superintendent school will subsequently present a final copy to the Board of Education for its action on March 24th. We're all good with that? So I don't need a motion for that. Do I know what you know, right? Thank you very much. We have a memorandum of agreement, and I think I'm going to have to read that resolution if you just give that to me. But just so you know, this is basically it was with the teachers union, the Smithtown Teachers Association, the CBA, and it was to extend the time for an individual or anybody in the unit to the incentive deadline. One teacher did both ways it worked out very well, but one person did decide to hand in retirement papers and didn't get the incentive even though it was late. So that's what this MOA does do tonight. It'll be over after tonight, but at least it was one person. So be it resolved that the Board of Education approves the terms of the memorandum of agreement between negotiating representatives of the Smithtown Schools Teachers Association and the negotiating representatives of the Smithtown Central School District, and be it further resolved, district administration and council are authorized to incorporate the terms of the memorandum of agreement into the successive collective bargaining agreement, CBA, in conjunction with the association.
The motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes, ma'am. That's it for you.
I'll come back after you report the public input if you have any.
We do not have any public input.
And it's right back to me. Okay, I ask that the board approves items 13 through 18 on the consent agenda.
Motion. Does anyone, any of the board members wish to remove any items from the consent agenda? All right, can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda items 13 to 18? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes, ma'am. Just real quickly for the public purposes, because I was asked this question. The consent agenda is not anything different than what we've do in the past. The consent agenda has instructional report, people personnel, business affairs, and personnel. And when we do the consent, we're just doing it all at once for time purposes so that we can have valuable presentations here that are more meaningful. This is a technicality. The reason we would pull something from it is if we had more questions, or we wanted to vote something down, or somebody had wanted to vote against something. So nothing's changed. It's just a technical way of doing it quicker because it's kind of the dry part of the meeting. So I just want to make it clear for everyone. Right, what else? Oh, that's it. Okay, so we did approve that. Okay, and just want to note in that consent agenda, we approved the notice of retirement for Cynthia Alcid, and Janice DeAngelis. Do you have any background?
Thanks, Mr. Toad. No, we'd just like to really congratulate both those individuals for making it known that Cindy Alcid is actually putting in now for October, I believe it was, for next year, because of the notification timelines that they're required to provide. So that's why she was on tonight, and we'll certainly congratulate her and thank her as we get closer to that date as well.
Thank you. New business. Just want to clarify, because we need to get this information. I believe we've agreed for March 18th and 19th to do our superintendent interviews with our search firm. Everybody good with those dates?
Yep.
Okay, so we times? Six? Six? Okay. Okay, so we can let the search firm know that. And any other new business? Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Closed. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, everyone.